because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. Hadn't talked in a minute. Take me a little bit here to warm up. Sorry about that. Kind of wet out there this morning. Some places icy. This morning when I was traveling from basically Retrop north on Highway 6, I got up to about Taylor. The roads were just wet. Man, about that Taylor Road, whoo, all the way into Elk City, she was slicker than cow snot on a head gate. She was pretty slick. So you guys be careful out there today if you're traveling. It'd be a good day just to hang out at the house if you don't have to get out and feed cattle or do anything interesting like that. The freezing temperatures in western Oklahoma, far western Oklahoma, that is basically gone away. I noticed when I turned the mezzanette on here about 11:30, western Roger Mills County was below freezing, but it looks like it's freezing 32 degrees at Cheyenne right now. Here's some temperatures. Hollis, 36 degrees, 33 at Mangum, 35 at Butler, 34 at Camargo, Slapout, 38, Buffalo's 41, Lahoma, you're 34, out here in the Panhandle, not too shabby, 37 at Lipscomb, 36 at Canadian, 35 at Dozer, 37 at Wellington, and 35 at Odell. A lot going on in the agriculture world today, so let's go ahead and see what happened overnight when the markets opened back up. Wheat futures were lower in overnight trading on signs of weak demand for U.S. supplies and favorable weather in some growing areas. Exports of U.S. wheat since the start of the grain marketing year on June 1st now stand at 10.2 million metric tons, down 9% from the same time frame last year, a year earlier, according to data from the Department of Ag. Still, commitments from overseas buyers to purchase U.S. wheat are up 3% year over year, according to the USDA. Sales in the week that ended on January 11th was reported at 707,600 metric tons, up noticeably from the previous week and the prior four-week average. Last week's solid sales report did little to excite investors over the weekend. However, as prices in overnight session remain under pressure, see what they did or doing so far today here in a little bit. Favorable weather in the U.S. Southern Plains may have something to do with that. As much as six times the normal amount of precipitation has fallen in the U.S. Southern Plains in the past 2 weeks, according to the National Weather Service's precipitation page. Neither counties in southwestern Kansas nor much of the Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle are suffering from drought conditions at this point. About 52% of Kansas, the biggest U.S. producer of winter wheat, is suffering from drought, down from 68% 3 months ago, according to the U.S. Monitor. Wheat for March delivery fell 4¾ cents to 588.5 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. The Kansas City futures lost 6.5 cents to 601.5 a bushel. Corn futures were down a half a penny to 445 a bushel. Soybean futures for March delivery lost 2 cents to $12.11¼ a bushel. Soy meal was down $4 to $352.50 a short ton, and soy oil gained 0.26 cents to $47.16 a pound. Investors raised their bearish bets in corn, beans, and wheat in the week through January the 16th, according to the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Speculators last week held a net short position or bets on lower prices of 271,000 contracts in corn. That's up from 237,000 contracts a week earlier. Money managers were net short 78,827 soybean future contracts, jumping from 33,000 the week before that. Just 2 weeks earlier, investors had almost turned bullish on beans, but have since increased their bearish stance. And wheat hedge funds and other large investment companies raised their net shorts in hard red winter wheat futures to 38,122 contracts, up from 33,900 the week before. Investors raised their bearish bets on soft red winter wheat to 76,863 future contracts, and that's up from 61,000 a week earlier. Okay, guess what? You guys know what's going on with weather. Those poor folks in eastern Oklahoma, they're probably in for at least a day or two. They got a lot of ice going on over there. Ice storm warnings have been issued for parts of northwestern Arkansas, a few counties in eastern Oklahoma, and southern Missouri. Significant icing is expected in parts of northwest Arkansas this morning and early afternoon, with accumulations up to a half inch. Winds will be sustained from 15 to 20 miles an hour, with wind gusts will be stronger. Scattered to numerous power outages may result from a combination of ice accumulation and wind. Winter storm warnings have been issued for much of central and eastern Oklahoma, which will be last until around now, but I think they extended it, what I've seen before the show started. Quarter inch of freezing ice is expected in this region. Travel conditions will likely remain difficult throughout the day. It was pretty rough this morning, because when I come through Elk City before I got to the Diamond Exchange, I looked over there on the oncoming ramp coming from the west on I-40, and there was a car overturned there with a highway patrol on the scene there when I pulled through there about, I don't know, it was 8:30 or so. So anyway, it's pretty slick out there. All right, let's get an update on the grains right now. March, corn, 446, basically unchanged. So is May at 456. Soybeans for March, 1220, up 7. May, 1229, up 6. Soybean meal down 230 for March at 354.20. May is 354 even, down 220. Soybean oil, 48.24 for March at 134, up one, basically up 134. And May is 48.68, up 128. Hard red winter wheat, March, 609, up a little over 1. May is 613, also up a little over 1. Cotton, what's going on with cotton? You guys are steadily climbing every day for the past week, looking pretty good. So what is going on with cotton? I got the cotton report up here later on in the show, so we'll see what they got to say. March, 84.94, up 99. May is 85.94, up 105. And July is 86.34, up 102. Let's see here. West Texas Intermediate crude oil is February, 75.35, up $1.94. March is 75.15, up 190. Natural gas, since we started using, is going backwards. February, 242, down 9, and March is 213, down 11. So, and it looks like the Dow, S&P, and the NASDAQ are all in the green today. Okay, let's go ahead and take an Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association break. It's their happy hour today, and got a little more about them coming up shortly. And when we get back, we'll check out what's going on with the livestock. I want you guys to, I'll put out a text message on it, but Wednesday I have a really great guest going to be on. If you guys want to understand what GMOs are, good and bad, Michelle Miller, a.k.a. the Farm Babe, she's a worldwide speaker on GMOs and stuff like that. She is coming on Wednesday, basically for the whole show. You got any questions you want to know about GMOs, good or bad, you can text them in to our Ag Text line. It's open all the time, 580-225-9697. Again, Michelle Miller will be on Wednesday, starting about 12:10. Anyway, I'm excited for that show. She's a hard person to find some time for, but she's one of the very few people that says it like it is on GMOs, whether they're good GMOs or bad GMOs. She's going to speak the truth on it come this Wednesday. And then what else we got going on? Oh, man, I started setting up the schedule for the FFA National FFA Week. We'll have schools on here every day for 2 weeks, and it booked up solid. I invited 25 schools to come on the show during that 2 weeks in February. And so far, let's see here. I'm keeping my schedule close. I got 11 schools already booked for the February the 12th through the February 23rd. So it's going to be fun times, and with all these kids coming in from our local FFA chapters. I got Blair coming in. I got Mangum already, Cheyenne, Sentinel, Canute, Eric, Sweetwater, Leedy, Blair, Merritt, Eric, Canute, Elk City, Sentinel, Sarah, Mangum, Cheyenne. Already booked up. Can't wait to hear from everybody else. All right, let's go ahead and take an OCA break, and when I come back, we'll talk livestock. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Everyone around me was drinking coffee, and I wanted to be a coffee drinker too. But everything I tasted was either too bitter or too sweet, so I tried one more place. Instead of just ordering, I told them an idea of what I wanted, and they crafted a drink just for me. It tasted fresh, like coffee is supposed to. The brew was mild, and the flavor not too sweet. Exactly what I wanted. They've done this for lots of people. They'll do this for you too. Thanks to Twister's Coffee Company next to Brahms in Elk City, now I'm a coffee drinker. Every day.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale per hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call, 806-665-0677.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Calling all rural residents of Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle, are you tired of hauling off your own trash? Call D&G Trash Hauling. They can have a dumpster delivered to you in no time. D&G offers weekly or bi-weekly pickup in 4 different size dumpsters. You have a big job? D&G also has roll-offs available in several sizes. With D&G, you find affordable rates and no contracts. Satisfaction is always top priority. For more information, call D&G at 580-497-6950. That's 580-497-6950. Let D&G Trash get rid of your trash.
Get better beef bulls at an affordable price. The Davis Angus Value Genetics bull and female sale is Saturday, March 2nd at 12:30. Selling 90 yearling and 18-month-old bulls and 20 commercial bred heifers. They've got DNA test data, birth, weaning, and yearling data, and ultrasound data. They've been feed efficiency tested on the GrowSafe system. The Davis Angus Value Genetics Bull and Female Sale is Saturday, March 2nd at 12:30 p.m. on County Road 2150 near Foss. Get information at davisangus.com or go to Facebook and search Davis Angus.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back to the OCA Happy Hour. Currently here on the Gabe Gadget Mezzanet Center, we have 32.7 degrees, 99% humidity, and looks like the winds are out of the south at around 4 to 6 miles an hour here at the studio out here in the Texas Panhandle at Lipscomb. Here's your ag weather update. 37 degrees, wind chills 28, humidity's at 88%, dew point's 34, the winds are out of the south at 16 miles an hour with gusts up to 18, peak wind gust today, 35 miles an hour, month-to-date precipitation 0.81, 81 hundredths of an inch, red flag minutes today, zero, no sub-freezing minutes today, 8-inch soil temperature, 33 degrees. All right, let's see what's happening with the meats, with the cattle, with the hogs. Live cattle for February, 173.90, down 47. April, 176.90, down 47. Also, June, 174.20, down 12. Feeder cattle, January, 229.45, down 65. March, 231.32, down 62. April, 237.17, down 30. May, 242.45, up 15. And August, 258.07, up 20. Lean hogs for February, down 70.62, down 12. April, 77.50, down 65. And May, lean hogs, 83.40, down 57. All right, this is rare. So anyway, according to the Oklahoma Weekly Cattle Auction Summary put out by the USDA, Texas put out actually 5 times more cattle last week at the sale barns in Oklahoma, which is very rare unless this is a misprint, but it doesn't look like it. Total receipts for Oklahoma at the sale barns, 1,907 head. Last week reported 36,987. This time last year, there was 43,428 head went through the sale barns in Oklahoma. Looks like feeder cattle was like 89% of it, slaughter cattle about 7.3%, replacement cattle, it's usually 1 or 2%. Last week it was 3.8%. Compared to last week, bulk of the auctions closed due to the winter storm. Other auctions that occurred were later in the week where temperatures had warmed up above freezing. However, numbers there remained very limited. Demand moderate to good for feeder cattle and calves. Demand good for slaughter cows and bulls, and limited numbers of replacements. So anyway, there you got to go on that. Let's check out some prices real quick. Let's go with the 300 weights on the steers. Looks like the best I see in there was some 319 weights, brought 357. On some 4 to 5 weights, 349. 5 to 6 weights, 281. Nope, let me back up. Some 523s brought 320. So there we got some unwinged ones brought 265. 6 to 7 weights, anywhere from 220 up to 265. And 7 to 8 weights up to 235. And 8 weights up to 220. And 9 weights were bringing some up to 207. Or, yeah, 207. There we go. All right, let's check out some heifers. Let's see here. Medium and large, number 1 and 2s. 3 to 4 weights were bringing up to 260. 4 to 5 weights were bringing up to 263. 5 to 6 weights up to 222. Yep, that'd be good. They averaged around 219 according to the report. And then there's 6 weight heifers up to 220, 7 weights up to 202, and then they had some 8 weights up to 188. And let's see here. This is a long report. Let me get down here. All right, let's go with some breaker cows. Breaker cows on what they sold last week in Oklahoma were bringing anywhere from 99 to 121. High was 121, and boner cows were bringing anywhere from 79 up to 109, and lean cows weighing anywhere from 895 up to 1153 were bringing 61. 82 was the very lowest, but looks like the average was 90.04, and the high average was 97.31. Bred cows, 2 to 4 year olds, were bringing anywhere from, let's go, 975 up to 1950 is the highest I see on there. Not much of a run on them. I think there was only 20 or 30 cows reported there. And cow-calf pairs, only one head reported, weighed 1,000 pounds, and the calf was less than 150 pounds, brought $1,700. Okay, let's see what happened in Texas. 5,088 head reported compared to 6,100 the week before and 6,800 year before. Compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers sold $1 to $5 higher. Trade activity was moderate on moderate to good demand. A cold front moved across the area, bringing a deep freeze accompanied by negative wind chills to start the week off. We all remember that, which caused some sales to cancel. Slaughtered cows and bulls were $2 to $5 higher. Supply included 86% feeder, 12% slaughter, and 2% replacement. And there you got it. Let's see what they were bringing in Texas. Four weights were bringing up to 342, five weights up to 305, six weights up to 267, seven weights up to 238, and some eight weights brought up to 231, and a few nine weights was in there at $1.92 on the steers and on heifers. Let me see, there they are. On heifers, medium and large number ones, they were the four to five weights were bringing up to 295, and the five to six weights up to 259. Six weight heifers, 240 was top end. 190 was 215 was low end. Seven weights were bringing up to 212. Eight weights up to 204.50, and that was it. Didn't have any nine weights. Let's see what their cows were doing. Breakers were bringing anywhere from 90, 64 up to 95 on average. Boner cows were bringing anywhere from 70, 91 up to 97, 64. And lean cows were bringing, they had some not too good a shape, 52, 38 bringing up. And then, but the average was 97, 72 on lean hogs. Pretty good. Bulls, not much of a run. They were bringing 110. And stock cows, bred cows, let's see here. Let's see what the bred cows were bringing. Bred cows, medium and large, were bringing 950, and medium and large 1 to 2s were bringing up to 1475, and some medium and large number 2s brought a little over 1,000. Cow-calf pairs with 150-pound calves or less, medium and large number 1s brought 1,100, and then cow-calf pairs, medium and large 1 to 2s, with 150 to 300-pound calves on them, were bringing anywhere from 1,225 to $1,600. So there you got it. Got all that going on. Let me get out of that. My wife is watching the show today, and anyway, she's docking me 10 cents every time I say anyways or anyway. So I'm going to change my wording today. We're going to go with anywho. That's my new word today. So anywho, here's your report from the Oklahoma Cattlemen Association. In addition to being the trusted voice for Oklahoma cattlemen, the OCA also serves as your state brand registrar. Brands renew on years that end in 0 and 5. An official brand book is printed and distributed to local sheriff's offices, extension offices, and ag educators across the state at no charge. Now you can also access the state brand ownership records online at Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association website under the Brands tab. So anyway, to join the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, and I'd truly appreciate it if you guys would join them, go to www.okcattlemen's.org or call the office or get in touch with Miss Lori up there at Arnett at 580-273-5137 and tell them that you heard it on Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, and they probably won't give you a discount. Anyway, no discount. It's cheap. It's $100 a year. Go do it. And you get this Cowman's Magazine every month or every other month. Can you remember? It's a bad to the bone magazine. They do a really good job with that magazine. So anyway, and it's a good organization to be a member of. So all right, let's go ahead and take an OCA break. When I come back, we're going to talk about what all this wet weather's doing. The El Nino, is the El Nino causing these winter storms? Is the El Nino going to make our wheat crop really good this coming spring? We're going to talk about that right after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
We feel like we want to be good stewards of our depositors' money. That's what keeps Community Bank going for as long as it has. This bank's seen it all. Starting 1901, you've seen a few droughts. You've seen some market crashes. Oil and gas come and go a few different times, you know, from the 50s to the 80s to the 20-teens. And we're here. We never sit there and go, oh, man, I hope our doors are going to be open tomorrow. We're going to be there. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
Whether you graze livestock or produce hay from perennial forages, the Night Latch Group helps farmers and ranchers with managing livestock risk protection. LRP is the cheapest way to establish a floor price for your cattle while leaving the top side open. Policies are available for calves, stocker cattle, and feed yard cattle with no upfront costs or margin calls. For LRP and crop insurance, contact Andy or Codell at the Night Latch Group, 580-334-7995. Hold on to your ag investment at nightlatch.net.
Beef, that's what's on the menu at Hudson Angus Farms. Their 11th annual bull and female sale is Saturday, January 27th at 1 p.m. at the farm west of Elk City. They're selling 70 yearling to two-year-old bulls and 20 bred heifers. To see the catalog and videos, go to their website, HudsonAngusFarms.com, or find Hudson Angus Farms on Facebook. The Hudson Angus Farms Spring Bull Sale, Saturday, January 27th. Lunch at noon, sale starts at 1 o'clock west of Elk City.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, northwestern Oklahoma, here is your ag weather update. For slap out, 38 degrees, feels like 29. Excuse me. Dew point's 34, humidity's 86. Winds are out of south at 15 miles an hour. No rainfall in the last 10 days. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 30 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water. Must be down. Must be frozen or something. Sunset at 5:55. Today, mostly cloudy and 47 with south winds. Tonight, dense fog, 32. And tomorrow, 39 for a high. Very cloudy. And southeast. The east wind 6 to 8 miles an hour, so that wind out of the east is always cold. All right, speaking of weather, rain, and El Nino, where did it go? There it is. Anyway, El Nino's impact through the rest of the winter. Let's check it out. A moderate to strong El Nino-driven weather pattern remains in control across the northern hemisphere. An unseasonably mild spell of weather through much of the month of December extended across the heartland. However, it was stormy and excessive wet weather-related setup has impacted much of the eastern states, resulting in flooding in the Northeast and in New England. Meanwhile, pockets of drought improvement were noticed over the central sections of winter wheat belt, mainly in Kansas. Thus far, however, precipitation during California's typical wet season has been disappointing. Snow totals across the Sierra Nevada range are running not even half of what they should be this time of the year. The water equivalency of snowpack remains at less than 25% of normal. This is a key parameter in determining runoff prospects and forecasting reservoir levels used in the Central Valley. Powered by the weather maps and charts on This Week in Ag Business, you can check it out on that one. Okay, I got another one here. Where'd it go? I guess I didn't save it. My bad. Oh, here we go. I found it. It's titled wrong. Another round of Arctic freeze is blasting the U.S. The first round of cold weather brought historic temperatures, with Montana's temperatures falling 40 to 50 degrees below zero, with another round of frigid temperatures blanketing the U.S. again. What's behind the cold? While El Nino can be blamed for the back-to-back winter storms, something else is spurring the cold, according to Brad Ripley of the A USDA meteorologist, says moisture pumping up from the Gulf is the hallmark of El Nino. As I always say, you can't blame an individual or a single storm and El Nino, but you can start looking at the overall patterns, and there's absolutely no question that when you start seeing a pattern setting up like this, a storm pipeline from the Pacific coming across the Southwest and into the Midwest or East, that is El Nino, he said. The cold, however, is being pushed down from the north. Drew Larnan of World Weather says the Arctic air is caused by the warming that occurs in the stratosphere, which is outside where we live in that area. Sudden stratosphere warming events like what the U.S. is experiencing right now can be caused by large atmospheric waves in either the stratosphere. And then the planetary waves have ridges and troughs like ocean waves, but span huge distance in the atmosphere. The stratosphere, when it turns warmer, it expands that layer into the atmosphere, and it pushes and it puts pressure on the troposphere and forces cold air there aloft down to the surface. And then it gets spread out from the Arctic. What happens a lot of times when you get the stratosphere warming events that is that you displace the polar vortex, or if you split it into two vortexes, that's what's happening. So the good news, the latest round of frigid air is short-lived. The Climate Prediction Center 10-day forecast, which shows a much more mild view, at least compared to what we're seeing now. So it looks like Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle and Oklahoma Panhandle, after the next few days, it's going to warm up, be maybe in the 40s and 50s, but it's going to be wet. Because the reason why I say it's going to be wet is the Mesonet is predicting up to, except for the Panhandle of Oklahoma, is predicting up to inch and a half of rain for Western Oklahoma, and it's predicting anywhere from 1/10 to a half inch of rain in parts of the Texas Panhandle and the Oklahoma Panhandle in the next 5 days. So how about that? We got that going on. All right, enough about weather. We all know about weather, or we got plenty of weather forecasts. I wanna know, somebody, can you text in to the text line 580-225-9697? I wanna know why tractor pulls are not as popular as they used to be back in the 70s and 80s around here. Because I was looking at a deal in Successful Farming this morning. They're talking about the Super Bowl coming up, the Midwest Winter Nationals in the indoor. And it was talking about all kinds of cool stuff. And anyway, it just got me to thinking. I remember especially from Burns Flat Canute. There was a lot of guys doing tractor pulls back in the late 70s and all during the 80s with their Alices and their John Deeres. And I don't know, just thought, why aren't they doing it? Probably because it's expensive. But these guys up there in the Midwest, they're not holding back. They got some pretty cool tractors going up there. Red, green, yellow, orange, they got it going on. So I'm just curious why not a lot more tractor pulling going on in the Midwest. And so, let's see here. A couple of short stories, because last segment I'm going to talk about some cotton. EPA put out its yearly report, or one of its reports, says the NRSA found that the percentage of river and stream miles in poor biological condition could be reduced by 20% if excess nutrient levels could be reduced from poor to good or fair in the report. 4 of every 10 miles of U.S. rivers and streams are in poor condition because nitrogen and phosphorus runoff, said the EPA in its latest National Rivers and Stream Assessment. The NRSA found that the percentage of river and stream miles in poor biological condition could be reduced by 20% if excess nutrient levels could be reduced from poor to good or fair. Nationally, 28% of river and stream miles were in good biological condition, while almost half were in poor condition. According to the EPA, excess nitrogen levels were found in 44%, excess phosphorus in 42%, and excess vegetation cover is in 27% of the river and stream miles. The report is based off the 2019-20 survey of stream conditions, was released late September. Too little notice, only 35% of stream miles had healthy fish communities. Nutrient runoff is a difficult problem that's concentrated in the ag regions that drain into the Mississippi River. According to the Associated Press, the Midwest Director and Environmental Working Group told the AP the new water quality regulations were needed rather than voluntary efforts. There we go. Government's going to get involved in more. And you all guys all know that we don't need the EPA involved in this stuff out here. Also, another short story on interest rates. Ag Banker said in a Federal Reserve survey that the volume of new non-resident estate loans were 15% lower during the final quarter of 2023 during the same time period from 22. For the first time since 2001, interest rates are rising faster than farmland values, creating a potential obstacle to land purchasers, and said assistant economist Ty Creekman of the Kansas City Federal Reserve Bank. With interest costs now above average land value appreciation, farm operating profits will determine the magnitude of returns for financed land. Although growth in the farmland values held firm in 23, higher interest rates and a moderation in agriculture commodity prices have cut potential returns and could dampen demand for farmland and thus farmland values going forward. Meanwhile, Ag Banker said in a Federal Reserve survey, the volume of new non-real estate loans were 15% lower during the final quarter of 2023 than during the same period in 2022. While the number of new loans were slightly higher than in fall of 2022, the amount borrowed was adjusted for inflation was the lowest since 2017. Elevated production costs, higher interest expenses, and lower commodity prices have increased financing needs of many producers. However, strong liquidity buildup in recent years likely supplemented borrowing needs on some operations through the year, said the Ag Finance Update. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update. Anywho, we'll be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
SEI Agritech is excited to announce they're now open with their new LNC blending feed facility for their new product line at SEI Agritech 1400 South Randall in Elk City, with all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust. The new facility is the only LNC blending facility in the area. SEI Agritech in Elk City now open their new facility in their current location, 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, give Kent a call at 580-225-0317.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment. How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, January the 5th. 1,750 head were sold. 11 head of steers at 412 brought 320. 4 at 490 brought 296. 12 at 596 brought 239. 9 at 611 brought 253. 8 at 709 brought 212. 10 at 717 brought 225. 3 at 798 brought 195. 2 head of heifers at 426 brought 260. 6 at 451 brought 254. 5 at 502 brought 246, 8 at 541 brought 234, 4 at 563 brought 234, 10 at 805 brought 190, 8 at 873 brought 185, butcher cows were 31 to 119, butcher bulls brought 55 to 119.50, bred cows were 1,035 to 2,000, Elk City Livestock Auction 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma, sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6095.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Okay, here you go. Here is your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for Bessie. I haven't done Bessie in a while. 34 degrees, feels like 27. Dew points at 34, humidity's 99%. The winds are out of the south at 8 miles an hour. 0.02 inches of rain in the last 10 days, 24 hours. That's from the fog, I'm sure, and the little mist we had this morning. 3-day average, 4-inch bare soil temperature, 31 degrees. 1-day average, 10-inch fractional water, 0.9. Sunset at 5:53. 40% chance of rain today, 38 for a high. Tonight, fog, 34, cold. Tomorrow, rain likely, 70% chance, that is, and 42 for a high, with east and northeast winds 5 to 9 mile an hour with gusts up to 15. Not too shabby. You guys that picked up your Penny News and haven't, go pick up your Penny News. I know we got another copy coming out this week, but if you'll turn to page 4, where that is the Today in Ag pages, brought to you by the First National Bank Trust of Elk City and Sayre. All those guys in there, Lone Star Gin, Wall Ben Hoppers, SEI Agritech, Neil Well Services, Harper, Great Plains, all those guys in there for about 2, 3, 4 pages. They are the sponsors of the show for Out of Elk City on KCLFM and out of Woodward, 100.1 KWFX. So anyway, when you go into the, any of those businesses, make sure you tell them you've seen that ad in the Penny News or you heard it on the Today and Ag Show. And just, I don't know that you'll get a discount by saying that, but you'll make me look better. So anyway, anywho, my wife's watching, so I got to be careful. Anywho, let's carry on. Let's see what the Cotton Report has out for last week. The government, we all know about the government shutdown was averted. And then late last week, the Department of Commerce acted to again raise tariffs on Moroccan fertilizer from a temporary applied rate of 2.12% to a rate of 7.41% applying to new imports. And making this decision, the Commerce is signaling that it at least partially accepts the claim of domestic injury argued by Mosaic, the United States' largest fertilizer company. However, the 7.41% tariff rate is a significant drop from the 19.97% rate of Moroccan fertilizer imports issued in 2020. And it remained in effect till last year of November, is what it's saying here in the report. So anyway, the National Cotton Council has long advocated for fertilizer tariff reductions, most recently joining a letter on this topic to the International Trade Commission. So that's going on. And then the bill to, see who was it? Representatives Randy Feinstrom, Republican out of Iowa, and Sanford Bishop, a Democrat out of Georgia, introduced legislation last week to repeal the estate tax. Titled the Death Tax Repeal Act, this bill has already garnered the support of 160 co-sponsors. It joins a Senate companion that was introduced by Senator Thon from South Dakota last year. So the NCC has long supported eliminating that estate tax. And it says what it says. In December, with more than 150 organizations on the topic, as the letter pointed out, the estate tax has forced the sale of farms and family businesses while contributing only a small portion, estimated 0.5% to the federal revenue. Get it? Yeah, that's a mean to see. It's a not much else going on. Producers, cotton producers may now enroll in the U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol and apply for U.S. Climate Smart Program. And you can do that at www.trustuscotton.org. This is the second year of the enrollment window transition, allowing producers to begin the process prior to planting and better align with peak cotton marketing dates. Producers who completed their enrollment during either the period in 23 will need to enroll again and are encouraged to get started today to maximize their benefits. And on that topic, it says the key dates are March 1, deadline to enter data and upload bales from the 23 crop, April 30th, Trust Protocol Enrollment and Climate Smart Cotton Program applications close. There you have it. It said 1,650 farmers are approved, including 330 farmers from historically underserved communities. Producers with enrollment and other questions can reach out to Grower Help Desk at growers at Trust U.S. Cotton or Trust Us Cotton or U.S., however you want to look at that. So anyway, you can go growers at Trust Cotton. TrustUsCotton.org. Man, I messed that up, didn't I? Anyway, sales, net export sales for the week ending January 11th of 2024 were 436,200 bales. This brings total 23-24 sales to approximately 9.8 million. Total sales at the same point in the 22-23 marketing year was 9.5 million. How about that? That's better than the 22-23. Total new crop 24-25 sales are at 707,100 bales. Shipments for the week were 270,200 bales, a marketing high year, bringing total exports to date to 4 million bales. compared with 4.4 million bales in the 22-23 marketing year. So there you have it. There's your cotton update. Let's see here. What have I got here? Oh, I wanted to talk about wet weather and wheat. Overall, the wheat looks to have a good potential for grain production this year. Planting date had proven to have played a critical role in wheat pasture this year. Early sowed wheat has produced very well. A warmer than average December led to late sown wheat producing sufficient tillers and decent top growth. While some of the wheat has remained small, it has produced a viable root system and will continue to develop new tillers this spring. When assessing wheat fields for grain yield potential, it's best to start by evaluating the stand. Past research of Oklahoma State University has shown that at least 60 heads per square foot is ideal to produce max grain yield. Using a little math, that would equate to 38 tillers per foot of row on 7.5-inch row spacings. Since many producers have adequate soil moisture and viable stands, there will be a good potential for wheat to respond favorably to additional inputs. For an example, if a pound of nitrogen cost about 55 cents and it increased yield by only one bushel, the return on the investment is there even at low grain prices. Even with the application cost, it will be economical to top dress. Timely herbicide applications are key to early spring wheat management. Always, the sooner the better. Most wheat herbicides need to be applied when temperatures start to get least into the 50s. Ideally, for good wheat efficiency and crop safety, there should be a few days prior and following the herbicide application with good growing conditions. In other words, he's saying if it's 55 on Tuesday and 20 on Wednesday, don't do it. Pretty simple math there. Top dressing nitrogen tank mixed with a herbicide can be economical option. Since the sprayer will be using a broadcast nozzle such as a flat fan, urea ammonia nitrate rates should be limited to 10 to 20 gallons per acre depending on conditions. Applications should be avoided when temperatures rise above 70 degrees and humidity is low. Applications should be made prior to the joining stage, which will limit yield loss by allowing more recovery time if crop injury does occur. Disease management has shown to be economical most years if applied timely. Most commercially available fungicides have had a good yield protection on OSU field trials. If only one application is budgeted, it's best to apply late and protect the flag leaf. Long-term data typically averages about 10 to 20% yield increase compared with no fungicide. From 2014 through 2021, the OSU variety trial near Lahoma has evaluated more than 50 wheat varieties and without fungicide applied above around the boot to flag leaf growth stage. Some varieties have good rust resistance and little to no benefit to fungicide application, while others had a yield reductions of 20 to 40%. Including all varieties, there has been a 20% average increase in grain yield over the time frame. 6 to 8 years, the fungicide application protected the grain yield. The disease has to be present to protect yield with a fungicide application. Knowing whether or not your wheat varieties have a good tolerance or resistance to leaf diseases is another factor to be considered. At the current wheat prices, if the wheat has a yield potential of at least 30 bushels per acre, there might be more than likely an economical to apply, will need to be economical to apply a fungicide if foliar diseases develop on the wheat. Timely field scouting is the only way to determine if a pest is present and if application of a herbicide, insecticide, or fungicide is warranted. The only way for one of these pesticides to protect yield and have a positive return on investment would be knowing what pests are present and knowing how much yield potential can be saved if applied correctly. So there's your wheat story of the week. It's getting to be that time. It's middle of January. It's time to top dress. Anyway, I'm waiting on some test results back on my Truda cow. We'll see how that goes. I had a deal sent to me Friday, and I forgot to mention it because I had so much going on. Just thinking about Coulter, and man, what a funeral. It just showed he was a good guy. That was a large funeral for Coulter. He'll be dearly missed. So coming up, March 15th, Eggs and Issues at Cheyenne from 8 to 9 a.m. At the United Methodist Fellowship Hall in Cheyenne. Anthony Moore and Senator Casey Murdoch will be there talking about all kinds of stuff. So I'll remind you guys on that. Anyway, Anthony Moore came out with a new bill, him and Mr. Archer. I'll tell you guys more about that tomorrow, about feral hogs. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Have a great day. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, Oklahoma. God bless.
We're like the flashlight on your keychain, helping you get the job done.
96.5 KECO, Elk City.
The White House isn't giving up on Mideast peace. On Lisa Brady, Fox News.
It's the president's view that a two-state solution is the best.